We're going to begin this evening by opening our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, and I'll remind you of where we are in our study of this perseverance and assurance. We are in the section where we are dealing with the perseverance of the saints, and we saw last week that the perseverance of the saints is God's work. He regenerates a person, and He works in their lives to calls them to persevere. The text that we looked at last week as we began that section is that of 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. So I'm going to ask you to turn there. We'll come back to Ephesians. Go over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John 5, 11. One of the things that we saw last week is that perseverance is the fact that God will cause His people to persevere, that they will indeed enter into heaven. They have eternal life already, and that eternal life is God's promise to them. 1 John 5:11 says, "And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He does not have the Son does not have the life." God has promised His people eternal life. They will persevere. He didn't promise them 6 months, 7 months. He didn't promise them life until they sinned. He didn't promise them temporary life. He promised them eternal life. It is really that simple. Now tonight, after looking at God's promise last week, we're coming to God's provision. So we'll be examining this next text, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. So turn there in your Bibles with me. God's provision. And in essence, God's provision is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In Him," that is Christ, "you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." There are multiple truths communicated to us in this passage concerning the Holy Spirit. But first of all, I want us to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit, as the text says here, of promise. God promised His Holy Spirit to His people. And the promise actually is back in the Old Testament, but first let's look at a few verses in the New Testament that we're familiar with. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And 17. "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you." Move from here to chapter 15, verse 26. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me." Move from here to chapter 16, John 16, and down in 16 to verse 7. John 16, 17, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And He goes on to explain that, and then notice in verse 13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Christ promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. And whenever we look at Acts chapter 2, we see there that promise fulfilled. But I want you to go back with me into the Old Testament for a moment to Ezekiel chapter 36. You remember in John chapter 3, whenever Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit, one of the things he said to Nicodemus in John 3 was that Nicodemus was a teacher of Israel, and he didn't know these things. He didn't know about the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people. And we can go back into the Old Testament and see here God's promise to send His Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Very powerful text, especially this evening whenever we come to what we'll examine tonight back in Ephesians chapter 1. So I'll ask you to go back there, Ephesians chapter 1. And again, note the text. God is promising here, or stated here, that He gives His Holy Spirit as a seal. As the text says, you are sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge. In addition to the promise of God's Word is the provision of His Holy Spirit with regard to our eternal life, with regard to our perseverance. And specifically regarding the perseverance of the saints, there's four aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit I want us to examine that are conveyed here in this text. First of all, notice that the Holy Spirit is given as God's seal on the believer, as a testimony to the fact that the Christian belongs to God. That's what the seal is. A seal or a signet was something that indicated that it belonged to or applied to someone else. The seal demonstrates that the child of God is indeed a child of God. You can see chapter 4, verse 30. Jump over there for a moment with me. Ephesians 4 and 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Go back over to 1 Corinthians with me, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. 2 Corinthians 1. 22, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. By seal, it is meant signet. And here, this signet, the seal of the Holy Spirit, bears witness to the authenticity of the children of God, that they are indeed God's possession. He has put His mark on them, His seal on them. We could say, in perhaps our vernacular today, His signature on us. The seal of the Spirit then confirms the believer as the child of God. And He does that as He works conforming the believer to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does God display the fact that we belong to Him? When our lives, by the work of the Spirit, His seal, are conformed to the image of His Son. So we could say that the conformity of the life of the image, or to the image of Christ, is indicative of God's seal on His people, of His people belonging to Him. That's the first thing. Notice the second. The Holy Spirit is given as a pledge to the believer. In this case, in the believer. He is God's pledge. He's God's guarantee. He's God's deposit. The seal, although we understand by virtue of our own lives being conformed to the image of Christ that we belong to Him, but it also demonstrates to the world that we belong to Him. The pledge is for God's people, that He is guaranteeing the fact that He one day the believer will be in the immediate presence of God, that they will indeed persevere so that they will be in God's presence for eternity. A deposit, then we could say, the Holy Spirit is that deposit guaranteeing the believer will be one day with God. He's given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view, notice the text, to the redemption of God's own possession. God, by giving us the Holy Spirit and indwelling His people with His Spirit, is guaranteeing to them they will be in His presence. They will persevere. We could say that the Holy Spirit is God's own down payment, ensuring He will bring to fruition what He has started here in this life. Now, there's something interesting to note about a down payment, and that is a down payment on something is not a payment in addition to the price of something. It's actually part of it. And that pledge, the Holy Spirit that God gives us, is part of what is to come in heaven. The effect of the Holy Spirit being in our lives and conforming us to the image of Christ is, as He has changed us in this present life, it's a foreshadowing of what is to come. As our lives as Christians are conformed to His image here, it's not going to be something different when we get to heaven. Yes, different in the sense it'll be brought to fruition, but conformity to His image that transpires here isn't lost when we get to heaven. What is transpiring here as we are conformed to the image of Christ is a part of what we will be in heaven. Whenever you begin to think on that, it's a tremendous and powerful truth. God isn't just merely working in our lives here, and then it's a different work He does there. The very work that He's doing here is a work that will transition into heaven. And God is doing that work in our lives through His Holy Spirit. Take a look with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, how he connects heaven with the work of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The things in heaven, God is at work, working in our lives right now, conforming us to the image of Christ. Again, that image isn't lost when we get to heaven. It merely comes to fruition. And what a praise and a great blessing that it does. Third, God guides the believer, that is, God the Holy Spirit guides the believer into all the truth of God's word. We could see that right here. It is the Spirit who searches the deep things of God, even the depths of God. And it goes on, and it tells us there in the text, verse 11, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And we haven't received, or we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." God's Holy Spirit indwells the believer. It is upon the basis of the Word of God that His Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirits, according to Romans chapter 8, 16, that we are children of God. And if we are children, according to Romans chapter 8, 17, then we are heirs of God, fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs to what? Heirs to an inheritance. God's people will persevere. God has provided His Holy Spirit for them. He has put His Spirit within them as His seal and as His pledge. But something else is very important. We don't want to merely think of the Holy Spirit as just a signature or just merely a signet or sign or a force or even just a power. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is God the Spirit indwelling the believer. God, whenever He put His Spirit within us, He dwells within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Take a look at Romans with me for a moment. Chapter 8, verse 9. "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed," and notice this, "the Spirit of God dwells in you." He is the third person of the Trinity. He dwells within the people of God. He's not merely a force. He's not merely a power. He's not merely a signature or a seal or a signet, a sign. He is indwelling us as the third person of the Godhead. The text tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's at work within His people, both to will and to do His and for His good pleasure. He is a pledge of our inheritance, the text says. Notice this, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. God is at work preparing us for heaven. He's preparing us for heaven. And He is at work within us, He Himself indwelling us in the Holy Spirit, so that whenever we come to heaven, we will indeed be guaranteed the conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. We, by virtue of God's work in the Spirit in our lives, will persevere. For the Christian not to persevere, for the Christian to lose his or her salvation, God's promise would have to fail. God's provision of the indwelling Holy Spirit would have to fail. God would fail Himself. So important for us to understand, God guarantees the inheritance for us, that we will indeed persevere by virtue of His own presence in our lives. The testimony of that is a life that's changed to the praise of His goodness and glory, a life that's conformed to the image of Christ. And whenever we address the subject of conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about some kind of mystical thing. It's very practical. It's a life that is lived in allegiance to the Word of God. That's conformity to Christ's image. Important that we understand it. It's a life that's lived a life of truth, a life of faithfulness, a life of commitment to Christ Himself, a life of commitment to God. Very practical, everyday living out. How would the world know? Well, they can see the effects of the Holy Spirit in our lives as He conforms us to Christ, as our lives fold into, if you will, the Word of God and become more like Him, more in line with His Word. Any comments or questions? Whenever we get over to the saints' part, as far as assurance is concerned, we will be looking at the fact that our action is to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Cause us, Lord, to live in such a way that honors your presence in our life as your Spirit directs us into your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.